Well, this morning, like Shaw said, we're going to be talking about siblings. And for me, I'm really excited about this subject. I have two younger siblings, a younger sister who's 2 years younger than me, and then a younger brother who's like 5.5 years younger than me. So for me, I think growing up, I always knew that, hey, we should probably treat our siblings with respect, and there's probably something in the Bible that spoke to that. But I wasn't sure. I never really knew, and even coming into this, I had no idea what the Bible actually taught as far as how we should interact with our physical siblings. I knew there was probably something there, but I couldn't then point you to where that was. So for me, this has been a learning experience, and I'm excited this morning to relay what I've learned. And as we dive in, I know we're all coming from a lot of different family situations. I know some of us have a lot of different siblings. Maybe some of us have a lot of siblings from different parents, whether that's half-siblings or whether that's step-siblings. Or maybe some of us are only children. We're all coming from different situations. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on how we interact with our physical family. But in all this, we need to remember that there's a spiritual component as well. Throughout Scripture, we get this beautiful picture of how God's people are a family united under the headship of God the Father. And as a church, we are called to interact with our fellow Christians as siblings. So for all of us, everything we talk about this morning is going to be really applicable either for how we interact with our physical siblings or how we interact with our siblings in Christ. And what I hope we take away this morning is that we would see that our siblings are a gift from God. Siblings are a gift from God. Before we dive into that and start engaging with that, I'd like to take a couple minutes and just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be convicting us and moving, and that his word would be alive and active and be speaking to our hearts. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are good. You are loving. You desire us. You pursue us. Lord, we thank you that you have adopted us into our family, or into your family, that you have chosen us and desire to have a relationship with us. God, I pray this morning that we would see, as we look through stories in Scripture, your heart for how siblings are to interact. Yeah, what you desire for us. God, I pray that you would touch our hearts as far as, man, how we interact with our siblings. Would you give us clarity and vision into how we can love them and honor them and look to serve them and live in unity with them? God, I know we're all coming from different situations. Lord, I pray that the hardness or bitterness that we might harbor towards siblings, that this morning you would start to soften that. God, if there's past woundings, would you speak into that? Would you help us to get help? You're a good Father, and it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Okay, so as we get started, I just want to ask you guys a couple questions. The first one is, how do you view your siblings? Are they just people that you happen to grow up with that share some sort of genetic code that you do? Are they just people you grew up with? Or maybe they're your rival. Maybe you compete with them. Or maybe they're your good friend. How do you view your siblings? And then the second question is this: why do we have siblings? I know biologically why we have siblings, but why did God give us the siblings we have? And why did he choose to give us siblings within a family structure? Why do we have siblings? I think as I was thinking about this, I was wrestling with that a little bit, and I found a proverb that I think casts a little vision or a little light into why God gave us siblings. It's Proverbs 17:17. It says this, it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Some of us, when we read this, right, rightfully so, maybe we're saying, "Amen, Kyle, my brother causes me all kinds of adversity. I totally agree with that. Yes, I see that in my life." And that may be true, but that's not what this verse is talking about. It is referring to the loyalty that a brother shows in times of adversity. So God has given us siblings to walk with us in times of hardship. He has given us a built-in support system in our siblings. Is that how we view them? Is that how we view our siblings? Siblings are a gift. And to see this, I want to look at a passage and really a story in Scripture. And just as we kind of dive into this narrative text this morning, I just want to remind us that this isn't necessarily written to give us specific directions on how we're supposed to live with our siblings. But I think as we read it, we can see different biblical principles that jump out in how we can implement those into our life and into how we live with our siblings. So we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. So it's Genesis 37 is where we're going to pick up. And as we start to get into this, just to give you a little background, Joseph was the son of Jacob. And Jacob was one of the patriarchs. So when you read your Bible and you hear the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Jacob was one of the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. And his name was later changed to Israel. So when you hear the 12 tribes of Israel, those 12 tribes are the 12 sons of Israel or Jacob, because God changed his name. And what we see is that Joseph, the son of Jacob, came from a pretty broken family. And just kind of a side note here, I think this is kind of cool, but the Bible is full of just story after story of broken families and seeing God's redemptive work in it and seeing how God redeems broken things, including broken families. But this morning we're looking at Joseph. So Jacob, Joseph's dad, had 12 sons. He had other children as well, but specifically had 12 sons. Those 12 sons were all born of four different women. So he had married two of them, and then he had more children with the handmaid of the other two, or with his two wives, the handmaids of his two wives. So we already see that, man, this is not God's design plan as far as how a family unit should be living out under God's headship. And that's kind of where we're picking up. We're going to pick up in Genesis 37, verse 3. Joseph is interacting with his brothers and with his father. It says this, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, 'Here is this dream I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf.' His brothers said to him, 'Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me.' But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?' And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind." So from this passage, we see a couple or a few different things. First off, we see that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his brothers. And this was evident. It wasn't just something that Jacob harbored in his heart, but it was clearly on display. And we see that by the robe that Jacob gave to Joseph. Jacob displayed his favoritism to Joseph right in the face of his brothers, and this drove his brothers to hate him. So we see right away that it's not even anything Joseph's done at this point, but because of what his dad's done, his brothers are hating him. And then we also see that Joseph had a spiritual gift that his brothers didn't have. God communicated to Joseph through dreams. And we also see from these dreams that God had great plans for Joseph that would result in his exaltation over his siblings, and this drove his brothers to hate him even more. And it isn't explicitly stated in the text here, but I have to believe that some of this hatred for Joseph was fueled by their envy and their jealousy of him. Right? He was shown favoritism by his father. He received a special gift from his dad in that robe. He received dreams that seemingly predicted the future, and it was a future in which he was exalted over all of his brothers and his father. Can you guys relate to that feeling of jealousy, that feeling jealous over your siblings and their success? I remember growing up, I've mentioned I have a younger sister. She has always been really good at school. And honestly, it's something that I have not been very great at. But she's really smart and was really great at school. So growing up, she was always two grades younger than me, but she always consistently got better grades than me. And I felt like, man, I have to live up to this standard. As an older brother, I need to be setting an example. And it was something I couldn't live up to. And I just felt jealousy and envy over that. And then we got to high school, and she would take harder classes than I could. She'd take all the AP classes, and she got, I think she had like a 4.0 when she graduated high school. And I came to Ohio State, and then she came to Ohio State 2 years later, and we both got into Fisher College of Business right out of high school, so we got enrolled into Fisher. And for her, she ended up going on and double majored here at Ohio State in logistics and operations and had great internships while she was here, and ended up going, and she's working for Ford up in Detroit now. But for me, my experience was totally different. I got into Ohio State, was in Fisher, and then within the first quarter of my freshman year, I was put on academic probation and ended up transferring majors or switching majors so that I didn't fail out of the business school. So I just remember during this time feeling so jealous of her success and envious of all the things that she had going for her. And I just want to ask you guys, what about you? What are the ways that you are jealous or envious of your siblings? Right, maybe like Joseph and his brothers, we're jealous of our siblings' relationships with our parents. Or maybe our siblings have abilities that we don't have. Or maybe it's something different. Maybe it's how much money they make. Or maybe it's where they live or the family that they have. And these are the things that we're jealous or envious of. I'm guessing that either something now or something in the past has triggered some sort of jealousy or envy over our sibling's life. How do we respond when that comes up? We're going to pick back up in Joseph's story. So we're going to skip a couple verses and we're going to pick back up. Joseph at this point is going out to meet his brothers in the field. They're shepherding the flock and he's going out to meet them. So we'll pick back up in Genesis 37:18. It says, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Man, so we see that Joseph's brothers' hate for him had manifested itself literally in an assassination plot. Basically, his brothers have some serious case of unresolved conflict that has harbored itself to an extremely unhealthy level. Their response to the jealousy and envy that they felt towards Joseph was to lash out at him. Sibling relationships can be pretty intense, can't they? I mean, we grow up with these people. They see our shortcomings, we see theirs, we see each other's faults, and a lot of the time we're in competition between each other, right? We compete for the love and the affection of our parents or our other siblings. And this can lead to a lot of sibling conflict, and man, that's what we see here. Joseph's brothers respond to the envy by harboring hate and plotting to kill their brother, and eventually they sell him into slavery. Maybe we haven't actually sold our siblings into slavery. But do we continue to harbor hate and bitterness towards our siblings for past woundings that we have experienced? So I was reading Psychology Today. I don't typically read that. I was doing some research and stumbled upon this blog post. So I found this story. It's a story of two brothers who grew up in World War I through World War II and a little bit post-World War II period in Germany. And I just wanted to read this story to you guys. Just a heads up as I read it. You might think his last name's Riesenberg. He can definitely pronounce German things. That's a very German name. That is not true. You can ask any of the LTers. I am not very great with my German. There is a town, their hometown, I have no idea how to pronounce it. It begins with an H, and it's very long. If you want to know and actually see it, you can come to me afterwards. I can show this to you, and you can look at it. I'm just going to say their hometown in replace for that. So there we go. Okay, it says, during the 1920s, Adolf, also known as Addy, and Rudolf, known as Rudy, were partners in the Dassler Brothers Sports Shoe Company, a business operated out of their mother's laundry room in their hometown in Germany. Addy was known for his creativity and craftsmanship, and Rudy was the salesman. And in the early 1930s, the brothers joined the Nazi Party, but still devoted time to their company. In fact, one of the people that helped catapult the business was American Olympic legend, and Buckeye Olympic legend, Jesse Owens, who wore a pair of their shoes as he won 4 gold track medals in the 1936 Olympics. Where most people would celebrate the growth of the company, the Dasslers turned their success into jealousy and bitterness, and a family feud spawned out of their strained relationship. Rudy was drafted to fight in World War II and was captured by the Allied forces. American soldiers suspected him of being a member of the SS, and Rudy believed that his brother played a role in his arrest. Meanwhile, with Rudy away, Addy continued to build the shoe business. In 1948, the brothers parted ways and developed their own companies. Addy named his business Adidas, a combination of Addy and Das, short for Dassler. Rudy named his business Ruda, but later changed it to what we now know as Puma. The brothers built competing factories on opposite sides of the Arak River. With both companies employing the majority of the residents, the town got immersed in the family feud. As a matter of fact, the town of their hometown became known as the town of bent necks because people looked to see which shoes others were wearing to see where their allegiances fell. Rudy and Addy were so wrapped up in their fierce competition with each other that they didn't see powerhouse Nike entering into the shoe industry. Consequently, Nike still dominates the athletic shoe industry today. Isn't that sad? This once thriving shoe company, this family-owned shoe company where these brothers were working together, fell apart because of bitterness, jealousy, and envy that just festered. Not only did it split their family, but their unresolved conflict ended up splitting the whole town that they lived in. I want to ask you guys, do you have unresolved conflict with your siblings? Guys, this is what tears families apart. And the goal of resolving conflict isn't that we would have a better shoe company, that we would beat Nike. But if we truly believe that siblings are a gift from God and that He has given them to us, then resolving conflict honors and glorifies God. So we're going to skip a little bit of Joseph's story. We don't have time to look at it all this morning. If you haven't read it or you haven't read it recently, man, I really encourage you to go back and read from Genesis 37 onward and just see how faithful God is and God's power and dominion in Joseph's life. It's a really great story. But we're going to skip to the end. And basically in the time between when we left off and when we're picking up, this is what's been going on. Joseph has risen to power in Egypt. He is now second in command, only behind the power of Pharaoh. And that right now there's a famine in the land of Egypt and the surrounding Middle East region. And what we see is that this famine, well, thankfully, what we see is that God revealed to Pharaoh that, hey, there's going to be a famine, and then Joseph was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. So Joseph knew and Pharaoh knew that there's going to be a famine, so they took time and they stocked up and they prepared all this food and they were ready. So now they're in the midst of the famine, and Joseph's family is living in what is now Palestine, Israel area. And they need food because they are out. So they come down to Egypt looking for food, and they're dealing with Joseph, but they don't know that it's Joseph. And then they go back home, and they come back, and we're going to pick up in their second trip back, and they still don't know that they're talking to Joseph, but they're there to get more food. All right, so we're going to be picking up in Genesis 45, verse 4. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all the house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of the famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." And what we see is, man, Joseph had a lot of reason to be angry and upset with his brothers, right? They had sold him into slavery, and then later in life, he was thrown into prison because of that, because of him being enslaved, kind of played out of that story. So he had been sold into slavery, been sitting in prison. He had all these reasons to hate his brothers, and now he had power, so he could get back at them. He could do whatever he wanted. He was second in command in Egypt. But despite all these reasons that he had to hate his brothers or to get back at them, what we see is that he chose to be reconciled to them. He saw living at peace and at unity with his brothers as more important than getting back at them or holding a grudge. And not only did he forgive them, but he was there for them in a time of tremendous need for them and for their family. They were out of food, and they needed help. And God put Joseph in the life of his brothers so that he would be there for them when they had a time of adversity. Siblings are a gift. And as we read this story, isn't it easy for us to fall into some of the same pitfalls that Joseph and his brothers fell into? Right? We compete with one another for the affection of our parents, or it's easy to envy our siblings or feel jealous of them for different gifts that they have. Or it may seem natural to just try to sweep conflict under the rug and not worry about it. But God calls us to be unified with our siblings. We're going to look at Psalm 133. It's really simple, but I think it's really beautiful. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is good and pleasant when we dwell in unity with our siblings." Isn't that a beautiful calling? Isn't that a beautiful purpose that God has designed for us? And as we close, I want to leave us with a couple practicals. Now, as we get into this, I know we all come from different home situations, right? Maybe some of us have suffered abuse or been in an abusive relationship with our siblings. Or maybe some of us, our brother or sister, has passed away. Guys, if that's you, would you mark it on your comment card if you're struggling with how do I actually go about resolving this conflict with my siblings? A pastor or a staff member would love to walk alongside with you in that. And like I said, we realize people are coming from all kinds of different spectrums here. So with that in mind, the first practical I want to lay out for us is that we would seek unity with our siblings by resolving conflict. In Matthew 5, verse 21 to 24, Jesus is preaching to the crowd in what's the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says in verse 21. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." That's pretty intense. Jesus equates us holding anger towards our brother as being liable to judgment. We see that Jesus' desire is that we would be reconciled with our siblings. Above and beyond bringing sacrifices to him, he wants us to first go and reconcile with our siblings. We are called to actively seek forgiveness for ways that we have wronged our siblings. And when we read this, there's a sense of urgency. It's not a sense of passivity where we just wait and hopefully one day we actually do this. But no, it's a sense of urgency. We are to go and do this now. Jesus desires us to live in unity with our siblings. And the second practical is this: strive to honor your siblings. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." So for me, I've actually got the pleasure, I guess, of experiencing this from my younger brother recently. My wife and I bought a house in, I guess, late summer, early fall. So we didn't have time to do any outside yard work. And I was really excited, and we were really excited about building a patio out back so that we could hang out there, have a fire pit, and all that good stuff. And my brother, when he's not in school, he goes to a little school in Cincinnati called Mount St. Joe. And when he's not in school, he works professionally for a yard care company. So we had asked him if he'd come up and help us put this thing in. And just a little background on what's going on with my brother. Yeah, he lives in Cincinnati. He has just recently, at the time when we were building this, just finished up his semester. And that semester, he was also playing lacrosse. So he had a busy school semester. He was just finishing up lacrosse. He has a 2-year-old who will be 3 in October, and his wife is due with their second child in October as well. So he has got a lot going on in his life. But despite all of these things, he actually communicated with me to secure a date when he could come up and help us. And he basically just communicated, "Kyle, despite everything I have going in my life, you are worth it, and you are valuable enough that I will sacrifice my whole day to come up and do grueling labor with you and install this patio." And I felt so loved by him, and I felt honored that he would cherish me and our relationship enough to do that. For you guys, what's it look like for you? How can you honor your siblings? How can you communicate that you value them? Let's strive to outdo our siblings in honor. And as we look at Jesus' life, there is a point in his ministry when his mother and his siblings came for him and were trying to pull him aside. And this is in Matthew 12. And stretching out his hands towards his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." For those of us who have put our hope in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are part of God's family now, which means we have siblings throughout this room, throughout this city, and throughout this world. In response to this incredible gift that God has given us of being adopted into the family of God, we're going to celebrate this morning. And we're going to celebrate by taking communion together. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For those of us that have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are going to celebrate this morning by taking communion. We're going to celebrate that he has saved us and that we have been adopted into his family. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and they're going to play 3 songs. And sometime during those 3 songs, would you come up and join us and take communion? We have gluten-free over here to your right, and we have a couple other stations scattered throughout the room. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then the band will lead us in a couple more songs. Heavenly Father, God, you are good. We thank you so much that you have allowed us to be part of your family, that you have adopted us, that you have chosen us. God, I pray for us this morning that if we are struggling with loving our siblings, if there is discontent, if there is envy or jealousy, God, would you reveal it to us? Would you help us to know what's a good step in moving forward? Help us to pursue unity with our siblings, Lord. God, you are good. Jesus, we thank you for the example that you sent for us, that we can follow your lead. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.